to the Chabura. We gave this last year. Every week what we do is we focus on another mitzvah. We go up here to Sefer HaChinuch. Usually there are mitzvahs in every single parsha, but in Bereishit it's harder to come by. So what I try to do is, if there's not a mitzvah that's included in the Sefer HaChinuch, and I try to just pick something that's related to this week's parsha, pick one mitzvah, and focus on that. Before we begin the actual shiur this week, and this week we're going to be discussing the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, which isn't really one mitzvah, but it's very connected to the parsha, because it's Parshas Noach. Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. I want to talk a little bit about why I'm giving this chabur and why I think it's an important thing that a lot of people overlook in the time in yeshiva. Yeshiva is obviously a time for learning. Learning a lot of Torah, learning a lot of Gemara, learning a lot of Halacha, learning a lot of other things. Sometimes something that goes a little bit overlooked, I think, in yeshiva is the stress and the importance of doing mitzvahs. We all remember that when you're in kindergarten, when you're in school, when you're younger, there's a big focus on like mitzvah notes. And now you come home, I don't know, I used to get like a mitzvah, sometimes. I used to get mitzvah notes sent home. If you do a mitzvah, if you're a mevaker cholim, there's a stress it's stress that you're supposed to do mitzvahs. And for some reason, as you get older, I don't even know if this gets older. The truth is, once you get even older out of yeshiva, it comes back a little bit more. But in yeshiva, sometimes the focus on mitzvot is less and the focus on learning is more. Not that that's a bad thing. There's different times and different points in your life where you have to focus on different things. Fine. So why are we learning about mitzvot? So I'll start off with a few approaches. And whichever one, whatever, we'll see if any of them connect to you. The first is a very famous Gemara in Makos on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. It's funny, usually people end off their shiurim with this. Hopefully you guys will recognize this. Rav Chananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzach Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezachos Es Yisrael Lefichach Yirbalem Torah U'mitzvos. So the Gemara says over there, the Rav Chananya ben Akashi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that the Jewish people get a lot of tzedakah. He wanted to do good by the Jews. So what he did, he gave them 613 mitzvos, he gave them a ton of mitzvos. Fine. The Rambam of the Imperish HaMishnayos asked the question. He says, I don't understand. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be nice to the Jews, so he gave them 613 mitzvahs. And he gave us this rule book that we have to live by. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes these mitzvahs are very annoying. Rambam says it's very hard to keep 613 mitzvahs. So what does that mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be good to the Jews, so he gave them a lot of mitzvahs. If he wanted to be good to the Jews, he should have given them the nice, 15, 20. And told them they should keep that. Why give them 613? It's so hard to keep all of them. So the Rambam says something very nice. He says like this. It's a little bit unclear where the Rambam gets this from, but it's a beautiful, beautiful idea. And he says the following. He says that if a person is mekayim one mitzvah, a single mitzvah, kehogen karoi uvishleimutza, correctly, appropriately, and in its fullness, and he does the mitzvah lishma and meyava, meaning he focuses on one mitzvah, and he does that mitzvah perfectly. He does that mitzvah to the greatest degree, Yizoch le'olam haba. The Rambam explains, the meaning of the Gemara is, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 613 mitzvos isn't necessarily so that we can try to get to all of them, because that's very, very difficult. But every single Jew has a mitzvah that's matim for them. Every single Jew has a mitzvah that they connect with more to. If you're a type of person that connects to a single mitzvah, you're supposed to go to that mitzvah and take that all the way. The Rambam obviously says they have to keep all of the mitzvahs. But he says that this idea that every single Jew has a mitzvah that more so connects to him, and if you do that one mitzvah and you do that perfectly, and that's your mitzvah, you automatically go straight to Olam Haba. So the first reason why this Chabur I think is important is because you're going to be exposed to many mitzvahs that sometimes you haven't even heard of. I guess the guys that were in the shiur last year, we did some mitzvahs that are a little bit off the cuff. They're not necessarily ones that you hear about every day. So it's good to be exposed to things that you don't even realize necessarily are mitzvahs. Because if you're able to do a mitzvah, and you're able to do that mitzvah perfectly, and that's your mitzvah, according to the Rambam, you go straight to Olam Haba. That's reason number one. Second reason comes up in Or HaChaim and Parshas Eked, Perches Pasuk Aleph. He's going on the pasuk, Kol HaMitzvah Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom Tishmerun La'asos L'ma'an Tichyun. The interesting word over there is Kol HaMitzvah. It doesn't say kol ha-mitzvos that I command you today you should do so that you will live. It says kol ha-mitzvah. Obvious question is, there's many mitzvos. What does that mean, all of the mitzvos? You should say all of the mitzvos, not all of the mitzvah. So the Or HaChaim over there says the following. He gives a mashal. Says, let's say you went to the doctor and the doctor told you you have 200 and 48 limbs in your body, 247 of them are good, one of them's broken. You walk out and say, like, okay, good, at least, you know, 247 of them are good, one of them's not, it's not a big deal. No, if you walk in with a broken leg, you want the doctor to fix your broken leg. So Or Chaim says, the same thing goes by mitzvahs. You can't pick and choose. We're not the type of religion that you do what's good for you and you don't do what's not good for you. With 613 mitzvahs, and you don't have a choice, you must do all of them. And that is why the pasuk says kol ha-mitzvah, the entire mitzvah. It's 613 mitzvahs. On the one hand, you're right, they're all 613 separate mitzvahs. But at the end of the day, you have to keep all of them, they're one unit. So that's another reason what we're trying to accomplish in this chabura is to familiarize ourselves with all of the mitzvahs so that we're able to keep as many of the mitzvahs as we can. Fine. Another reason is the Gemara Menachos and Daf Kuf Yud. And the Gemara darshens out from the fact that it says Zos Torah Sa'asham, Zos Torah Sa'chadas. The Gemara expands and says that when somebody learns about a mitzvah, it's ki'ilu, you fulfilled that mitzvah. There's many mitzvahs that unfortunately, for whatever reason, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, or because you're not a Kohen, or because you're not a Melech, you're not able to fulfill. So how are we supposed to do 613 mitzvahs? We just said before you have to fulfill all the mitzvahs, you can't pick and choose. So the Gemara Menachos tells you that what you're able to do is you're able to learn about the mitzvahs. That again is another thing that we're doing in this chabura. We're learning about the mitzvahs so that we can get the schar for doing the mitzvah. Fine. There's a few other things that I spoke about last year, but I think that's enough for now. And now I just want to quickly talk about, truth is, I'll leave that aside. I was going to talk about the Sefer HaChinuch, who wrote the Sefer HaChinuch, who wrote the Minchas HaChinuch. The truth is, this week, we're not dealing as much with the Sefer HaChinuch, because this week's Parsha, the Sefer HaChinuch doesn't write anything on Parsha Snowlock, so we had to go elsewhere. Fine. So we'll start now with the mitzvah of this week's Parsha. Like I said before, this week is actually special. We're not going to do one specific mitzvah. We're going to talk a little bit about all the Sheva mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So let's begin. Fine. So what's the source for the Sheva mitzvahs B'nai Noach? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Nun Zayin that explains based off of the Pasuk. We learn now from the Pasuk in Perek Beis in Bereishis, Pasuk Tes Zayin. The Pasuk says, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam lemor, mikol eitz hagan ochel tochel. And the Gemara over there pretty much takes each word in the Pasuk and it says this refers to one mitzvah, this refers to another mitzvah, and pretty much darshens out each word in the Pasuk and says that they're referring to the different Sheva mitzvos B'nai Noach. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim in Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph, says that the truth is six mitzvos were given to Adam HaRishon, and one mitzvah, the mitzvah of Abraham and Achai, was given to Noach. Anybody here could think of why weren't all seven given to Adam? Why was Abraham and Achai specifically given to Noah and not Adam? Because why? Right, so Adam wasn't able to eat animals, so that's why the Rambam says, and the Gemara really already says it, that Adam couldn't have been commanded to not eat Abraham and Achai because he wasn't able to eat any animal.
Exactly.
Perek Tes, Halacha Aleph. Fine. So now, what are the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach? So, does anybody know the way to remember? So, the big three, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Daled. The big three are Avodah Zarah, non-Jews, it's also for them to worship idols. Number two, Shvichas Damim, non-Jews are also not allowed to kill. Number three, Gilui Arayos, non-Jews are not allowed to have Gilui Arayos. Good question. So, the Rambam actually lists, I think, six. And the six are the mother, non-Jews are not allowed to sleep with his mother. Eish Esav, not allowed to sleep with the wife of his father. Achos Imo, the sister of his mother. And Eish Esish, can't sleep with a married woman. Behema. And Mishkav Zacha, can't sleep with another man.
I was curious.
So those are the arayos for a non-Jew. Fine, so those are the big three. And then we have Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Daled. Aleph, as we said, is Abraham and Achai. Beis is Birkas Hashem, which is Lashon Sagi Nahar, which is Birkas Hashem, which is blessing God, but it really refers to cursing God. A non-Jew, one of the Sheva mitzvahs, and you know, he's not allowed to curse Hashem.
So,
yeah.
What Eish is Eish? What constitutes marriage for a Jew?
Once they have
anyone you want to take.
There's no formal kiddushin, but there's an element of nisuah when a non-Jew and a when they sleep together.
So like today, nowadays,
they're not all married to each other. It's just we'll get to that maybe when we get to the midst of Kiddushin. We'll talk about non-Jews and how it's a little bit of a scarist, yeah. Fine. So we said Aleph is Abraham and Achai, Beis is Birchas Hashem, Gimel is Gazelle. Nadras are also not allowed to steal. And Dalid is Dinim. There's a machlokes about what Dinim refers to. The Rambam says that Dinim refers to setting up a court system in which the courts can enforce the other six mitzvos b'nei Noach. So according to the Rambam, the seventh one of Dinim means that you have to have a court system which enforces the other mitzvos, the other six mitzvos b'nei Noach. The Ramban, however, says that Dinim refers to setting up just a court that runs things, meaning setting up like a court to make sure that there is an anarchy, to make sure that there's a certain element of Seder amongst the non-Jews as well. So that's an achlokas that we have over there. Fine. Next thing I want to talk about, which is just a quick point, what's the punishment? We know there's a lot of the Tayag mitzvos, and for Jews, there's different punishments for all the different aviros that you can do. So what is the punishment for Sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach? So the Rambam in, again, Hilchos Melachim, Perek Tes, Halacha Yudalit, says that any non-Jew, whenever he goes against any of the Sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, he gets Misa, he's killed with Sayef, beheading. And the Rambam actually explains, this is also a famous thing, I don't know if you've ever heard, but he explains, this is why the entire town of Shechem, the whole story with Dinah, was put to death. Because what happened was, you could see from the story of Shechem, from the fact that Shechem kidnapped Dinah, which is an element of Gezel, and nobody cared, nobody did anything, you saw that there wasn't a court system set up in Shechem that was there to punish people for stealing, and therefore, the entire city was Chayev Misa. Yeah. If you're a non-Jew. Yeah.
It's true. There's a reason to be rude right there.
Right there. We'll just keep the laws. Next question. What is... So this is a little bit like a Lomdusha question we have over here. The question is, we know we have Sheva mitzvos, and in Noach, we know we have Tayag mitzvos. Are they the same type of mitzvos, or are they like inherently different in like their essence? What do I mean? So it comes up, there's a question, there's the shitos that maintain that a suma, a blind person, isn't chayv in mitzvos bechlam. And he's not even chayv in mitzvos lo saseh. Fine. So there's a question, according to those shitos, that a suma, that a blind person, doesn't have to keep mitzvos, what do you have to keep the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach? So the minchas chinach in mitzvah chavav says that, yes, even though a suma doesn't have to keep any of the tayag mitzvos, he does have to keep the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, because the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, according to the minchas chinuch, is some type of like precursor to the tayag mitzvos. It's almost like the most fundamental mitzvos. And even if you're not chayev at Har Sinai for all the extra mitzvos that the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, you're still going to be chayev these sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach that all of mankind is supposed to keep. However, the kuntros de shiurim, Rav Gustman says something which I thought was very, very, very mechudash and very, very interesting. He says that the Sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach are only mitzvos for b'nei Noach. Sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach are totally different than any of the mitzvos for Jews. So much so does he say this. He says, let's take Gezel. Jews also are commanded not to steal. Non-Jews are also commanded not to steal. Rav Gustman says that it's a different mitzvah, it's a different avera of stealing. He says there's certain things that aren't included in Gezel by Jews. Let's say, overcharging somebody, withholding somebody's wages. All of these things, they're separate Yisurim, but they're not included in the Isur of Gezel. If you would give somebody Asura, say, don't steal, and then all of a sudden he overcharged somebody, he wouldn't be punished because you didn't warn him with the appropriate Isur. But by Gezel, let's say by a non-Jew, Gezel would include, for a non-Jew, overcharging somebody, ribis, or withholding somebody's wages. So Rav Gusman, whatever, that's more of like a technical point. But the general thing that Rav Gusman is getting at is that the mitzvah of, that the averos of a b'nei Noach, the averos of the tayag mitzvahs are totally separate things. So according to Rav Gusman, he says that a suma, who's not chayv in mitzvahs, so you might think, oh, he's not chayv in any of the tayag mitzvahs, but he is still chayv in the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, like any other non-Jew. We say, no, the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach are dafka for non-Jews. And a suma is not going to be chayv in those mitzvahs. Fine. There's something interesting that actually you have to discuss when we talk about Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. There's a question, are the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach actually no Hei B'Zman HaZeh? I never heard of this, but There's a Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Lam Ches. I don't know if anybody got up to there yet. And also Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis Amud Beis. And the Gemara says the following: Hashem saw that the Goyim were not keeping the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matir the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach for them. What does that mean? He was matir them, essentially absolved them of their chiyuv to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So the Shelos Truvos Pnei Yoshua, which is the grandfather, I believe, of the Pnei Yoshua that we have, like on the parish on the Gemara, and also the Ramah Mipano, both say that nowadays Goyim do not have to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. They're patur. They don't have to do it. There's no chiyuv nowadays of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Interesting. However, the Gripath, the owner of Yeruchim Fishel Perlau, who wrote a commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvot's Torah of Saad Yagov, and also the Tzemach Tzedek, who was the third of Av Sharebi, they both say that if you look at the continuation of the Gemara, and I did, if you look at the continuation of the Gemara actually asks this question. It says, I don't understand. Just because it's the non-Jews weren't keeping the mitzvah, so all of a sudden God was nice to them and said, fine, you actually don't have to keep them. The way the Gemara asks is, Hote Nisvar, if you ever come with the Gemara, asks that sometimes you don't reward somebody for sinning. So what does that mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them you're not going to be chayiv anymore in the Sheva Mitzvah? Oh, what happened over there? So the Gemara over there explains that we know there's a concept of Godol Mitzuvah V'yosem Misha'ino Mitzuvah V'yosem. You get more schar if you're actually commanded to do something than if you were just to volunteer and do something that you're not actually commanded. It's actually something in general, by the way, just a good point in life. Yeshiva also, like, a lot of times people like doing the flashy things that you don't have to do, but the truth is it's better to keep to the basics. You're supposed to do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Sometimes it's more flashy to do things to go above and beyond. The truth is, the Gemara says, Gado Mitzuvah V'yosem, when you're commanded to do something, you do it. That's a greater level than doing something that you're just volunteering to do. So the Gemara, when it said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolved them of their chiyuv to do the mitzvah, so it wasn't that they were now putter and they didn't have to do the Sheva Mitzvah Noach, it was rather that they didn't get as much schar, they were ki'ilu, they were Eino Mitzuvah V'yosem. But of course they really do have to keep the mitzvahs. Fine. So it comes out that really the Achronim say that nowadays the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach are still around, the Goyim still have to keep them. Fine. Now the last thing I want to discuss is a concept that came up in the recent, well, not really recent years, but Chabad. The current, whatever you want to say, Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson, came up with a big, big initiative to start spreading Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach to all the world. I was like looking this up. I saw like pictures of them with Ronald Reagan. Like, this was like huge. And Chabad, they were sending people all over the world, and there was this whole campaign to start getting non-Jews to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So it's a question, it became a thing. Are you supposed to do that or are you not supposed to do that? First of all, why would you do that? So everybody's heard of the concept of Or Lagoyim, I hope, right? Being a light unto the nations. So the Makor for that is actually a pasuk in Yeshaya, in Perek Mem Beis. If you look at the Mepharshim over there, it's interesting. Rashi over there doesn't say that Or Lagoyim refers to Goyim meaning non-Jews. Rashi actually says Or Lagoyim means being a light to other Jews. Goyim here refers to like the Shvatim. I actually heard this in a shir from Rav Aryeh Leibowitz. He said that Rav Shechter is fond of saying Goy usually refers to Jews. As we say, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. So he's referring to the Jewish people. So that's Rashi. So Radak says no. The truth is Or Lagoyim means a light to the nations. But it's only referring to the times of Geula. But nowadays, this, or whatever, if it's not the times of Geula, then you're not really supposed to be a light to the nations. But the Netziv does go with this concept, and he says that, what's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into Galus in the first place? So the Netziv says that a large part of our tafkid, being in the Galus and being all over the world, is to spread the belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to all of the nations. And that's one of our tafkidim. So according to this Netziv, this idea of the Rebbe and the Chabad notion of spreading the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach to everybody that can is very important. There's a Tosfos in Chagiga and Daf Yud Gimel that actually says that there's a mitzvah to teach non-Jews the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Over there, the context of the Gemara in Chagiga is actually talking about the Isser, to teach Torah to non-Jews. There's an Isser, you're not allowed to teach Torah to non-Jews. But Tosfos over there says it's a mitzvah to teach them the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Then there's a beautiful Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, so Mitzvah number 3, Mitzvah Gimel, which is the Mitzvah of Avas Hashem. The Rambam over there is talking about what is Avas Hashem. And he gives a mashal, he says, you ever like, I mean, he doesn't say it like this, but he says, you ever like eat at a restaurant that like not many people know about, and like you get a burger, it's like the sickest burger you ever had. It's like amazing. So what do you want to do? Everyone you see, like for the next few days, you start telling them about how awesome this place is. Why are you doing that? What do you get from that? Not making money if, you know, somebody else goes there. But you see it, it's nature of a man. When you love something, you want to share it. You want to tell people about it. So the Rambam says that's the same thing with Avas Hashem. That you want to get to the level where you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much that you just want to tell everybody about it. You want to tell everybody about the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is another reason, and that's a big thing that the Chabad went with, that when you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much, you just want to share that. And that's also this whole concept of sharing it to other people in the world. Fine. So all these are beautiful reasons. So what's the opposition to this? So Rav Shach was very against this movement. Rav Sternbach also. Rav Sternbach wrote about it in Truvos van Hagos and Kehle Gimel, Simon Shin Yod Zion. And he gives a few reasons. I'll just give a couple of them. He says, number one, a lot of times we're going to be trying to spread the Sheva Mitzvahs, but you know, at the end of the day, the Goyim are just going to be keeping it because they think it's the moral thing to do. Rav Sternbach says, when you're keeping mitzvahs because it's the moral thing to do and not because you actually believe in God and because you believe in the Torah, that's not a good thing, and therefore you're not really doing anything good to begin with. He also says, this is the reason why people are opposed to it, because when the Chabad was doing it, it was at a time where it was like a big Geula. We're in the time of Geula, and therefore we have to start spreading Torah to non-Jews as well. So Sternbach was very against it at the time, because he said, slow down, Chabad and Lubavitch and the Rebbe, we're not at a time of Geula yet. So that's why it was very like political, and he didn't want to get involved. And the last thing he said is it's scary. He says, Rav Sternbach said, we're much better off when our enemies don't have a lot of studios. Why would we run around and try to make all of our enemy non-Jewish people believers and make them keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach still at a time when they're dangerous to us and we don't want them to have studios. We want them to be bad people, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be on our side. All very interesting things. You can decide for yourselves which side you like better. I just want to end, getting back to what we were talking about at the beginning, like more of the Akdama. There's a nice story that I believe I heard in the name of the Apta Rav. Avram Yeshua Heschel. The Apta Rav, the Ohev Yisrael. He's the Hasidic Rebbe, one of the bigger ones. Late 17, early 1800s. He gave a mashal that goes as follows. He says, you had a person. He went, very, very, very poor person. And he went to like a different town to go do business, and his way back, and he went to like some random town to try to sell, I don't know, let's say he sold some apples over there to try to just make a few dollars to come home to his wife and kids with. This guy was really poor, he was always working hard, he was always traveling to do business to sell his apples that he would grow in his house. And one day he came across like some forest, whatever, and he noticed on the ground like a bunch of nice looking pebbles. It's like the most beautiful pebbles he's ever seen. So he decided to load his pockets with a bunch of these little pebbles. Okay, they were like these little pebbles, they almost looked like diamonds, but not really diamonds. They were really just rocks, but they were really, really good looking rocks. And he loaded his pockets and his bags with as many pebbles as he could. And he had a long journey home, so he picked them up and then he started going home. His journey was a few days home. He didn't have like a car at the time, he didn't have a donkey, whatever. He was walking the whole time. And these pebbles were really weighing him down. So the whole time when he was going back, along the way, he would like throw out like a handful from one pocket, throw out a handful from another pocket, dump out his bag a little because it was very, very heavy and it was annoying him. And even though they were like really nice, he said, whatever, I don't need all these. At the end of the day, they're just nice pebbles and whatever, it's fine. When he got home, by the time he got home, he basically let go of all the pebbles. He threw them all aside because they were annoying to take home. And he only had one pebble left. And he took it to the jeweler over there. And he asked the jeweler if it's worth anything. So the jeweler looked at it. And the jeweler told him, he looks at him and said, where do you get this? And the guy said, I don't know, it was like in another town, I found this pebble. And it looked nice, I just wanted to know like how much it's worth. So the guy said, Baruch Hashem was an honest jeweler, and said, this is like the most perfect type of pebble, it's like a specific type of diamond, it's like the most purest form of whatever, it's worth like a ton of money. Okay? And the guy was obviously bummed out because he's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how much these pebbles were worth. I literally had thousands of these and I threw them all on the sides of the road because they were just annoying and they were too heavy. But yeah, it wasn't like it was super, super heavy. It was just a little bit annoying. Could have taken them. We were weighing them down a little bit, but he could have taken them back. So the after Rav said as follows. He said it's a very simple mashal, a very simple nimsha. He says that we, when we live our daily lives, don't realize the power of every single mitzvah that we do. Okay? Every mitzvah that you do, and mitzvahs can be the easiest thing. Putting a smile on somebody's face, being mevaker cholim. These things aren't so difficult to do, and unfortunately, we don't realize the power that each and every single one of the mitzvahs can be. So, Bezrat Hashem, throughout the year, we're going to learn a lot of Teira, but also maybe just taking 20 minutes out a week, but it could hopefully put us in the right mindset that mitzvos are also something that are a crucial part of every Jew's life. And Bezrat Hashem, we should have a year of Hatzlacha, a good time, and a good Chodesh Zman. Shiyeh Lechem Zman Tov.